Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Tanya Clark Marinelli, creator of TanyaClarkMarinelli.com, the EmpoweringKidsProgram.com, and my new favorite, InvestInYourselfCourse.com, which is now offered for women online. And thank you for joining me. I'm really excited because I have Sue Paulson here with me today, and I'm just going to share with you her bio. So if you guys want to get a hold of me, before I get into this, if you guys want to get a hold of me and find out about the Invest in Yourself course for women online, you can go to www.investinyourselfcourse.com, easy peasy. And if you guys want to connect with me, are interested in working with me, I work with women on getting unstuck and moving forward, finding their passions and really creating the life that they desire. And I also work with teaching children all of these amazing tools that we as adults have waited so long to hear. So you can find me at TanyaClarkMarinelli.com. Okay, so Sue Paulson is here with us. She is author and inspirational speaker. Sue received her first audience applause at the age of 10, after reciting a poem at church. She attended her first personal growth workshop at age 24 and learned to teach it. By 34, she was developing and conducting corporate workshops. She traveled Alberta as a paid speaker with topics such as stress reduction, change management, and team development. In 1996, Sue began the first of her 15 years teaching business writing, public speaking, and study skills part-time at McEwen University. In 1999, she published her first book, a bestseller, Tips and Tools for Student Success. It was followed in 2003 by her award-winning Tips and Tools to Speak with Confidence. For her 50th birthday, Sue successfully challenged herself to perform 5 minutes of stand-up comedy and amateur night at Yuck Yucks. Hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of that today. She has worked as a voiceover artist, composed music, coached budding speakers, and appeared as an expert on TV and radio show talking about dating for older adults. Sue rode a camel to the pyramids in Egypt, survived two bankruptcies, birthed and raised a wonderful son, and experienced two liberating divorces. More than just a remarkable voice of her generation, Sue's wit and wisdom spans decades of experience of living life as a conscious and empowered woman, just what we're looking for. She has learned how to balance life's passions and its necessities, thriving since her near-death experience in 2007 and bouts of cancer in 2011 and 2012, Sue has big plans for the next stage of her life. So Sue's latest book is Magnificent Misery, From Adversity to Ecstasy, and that was released just in October 2015. You guys can get that book on Amazon, or I'm going to post the link where you can get it off in on my page. So without further ado, Sue, welcome. How are you?
I'm just great. Thanks, Tanya. It's just a delight to be here with you this morning.
Good. Thank you. We're really excited to have you here. Oh, my gosh, like, that is an amazing bio right there. You know, this show's all about supplying women and children tools to empower themselves, and I can tell that you have some amazing, amazing tips to share with us today.
Well, I'd be absolutely delighted to, Tanya. It's been a fun and funny and odd journey in many ways. I've always professed to absolutely hate roller coasters, and yet I think my life has been a roller coaster.
Oh, no! Yeah.
The funny part is trying to get used to the thrills and the chills and then learn from that.
Absolutely.
However, one of the things I've discovered is, for me personally, is that growth is as essential to me as breathing. So I started young and realizing that or at least feeling that there was more to life than what I saw right in front of me. And I thought there was more to me than I could see right at the outset. So I was kind of on a quest for lots of years. And the first adversity that caused me to really stand firmly on my own two feet was when my mom died when I was just 17.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the as tragic as that was, because it kind of blew our whole family apart, and I felt very alone and isolated as a result of that. But what it did for me was open up doors that I probably never would have thought to walk through if that hadn't happened.
Right.
So with that, I got the courage to explore, and as life often happens, stumbled across a personal growth seminar in 1974 that just helped me discover that I was actually a person in my own right. That I had strengths, I had talents, and for someone who was brought up to be a servant, you know, who was brought up to look after others and self-sacrifice and always pay attention to myself last, then that was a revelation for me that, oh, you mean I'm me all on my own and I have value just by myself? So, it really helped me. So, of course, I became just like a sponge, like, okay, what else is there? What more is there? And in the 70s, it was a pretty odd thing to be doing. Like, I didn't talk too much about that kind of growth experience because nobody that I knew really was doing much of that. And so I felt very... very much like a fish out of water.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, the opportunity was there. And I think one of the first things that I learned was how important it was to make a list of all of the things that I liked about myself, the talents, the skills, mm-hmm. the gifts that I felt I had. Well, I don't know about you, but in those days, I could list 100 things that I didn't like about myself faster than I could take a breath. But mm-hmm. when it came to listing things that were really great, I'm kind of going, what?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable to begin with, right?
Oh, absolutely. So I got to maybe 5 or 6, and then I'm scrambling and thinking, well, what do you mean? And what I realized was there was a lot of things that were good about me that I just plain took for granted. I didn't realize mm-hmm. that I could give myself credit for that.
Right.
So I had to get help. You know, I got help from friends, and I says, well, can you give me a good point about myself? I'm stuck, and I have to make a list of 100 things. So... I got help, and it was amazing to me when I actually had got up the courage to ask other people, like, what do you like about me, or what do you think is good about me? They shared the most amazing things, and I'm going, wow, I didn't know that, really. So yeah. That, of course, you know, it added emphasis to who I was. Well, from there, I just began to grow and feel stronger inside myself. So I guess from an empowerment standpoint, that was one of the first things that I grabbed onto like a lifeline, and it became a very important part of me because it helped me change my self-talk from mm-hmm. negative to positive.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, I'm actually doing a talk on January 10th here in Winnipeg, and it's all about self-talk. It's all about self-talk because there's so many people out there who aren't even aware of what their self-talk is or what it even is, you know? And I think it's such an important part to learn about in order to, you know, start reprogramming, really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. and the crazy thing is, as many things as I've done to grow and learn to be strong over so many years, it was really only probably about a year ago that I realized how much more chatter was still going on in my head that had literally nothing to do with me. I'm going, who's talking to me? Like, quit talking to me. Stop that. And it took a concerted effort for me to quiet that chatter, because it was all about you should, you shouldn't, why are you doing that? You know?
Yeah. Self-judgment.
And I thought, wait a minute. Absolutely. Yeah. And it was just old stuff that didn't belong there, and it wasn't mine, but if I paid attention to it by you know, feeling that it was true, then I owned it, and that just has no place in what we're trying to do in growing with our lives. So
yeah.
So a lot of that it came right down to how do I quit judging myself, start having more compassion for the condition that I'm in and wherever I'm at, and cut myself some slack, because, wow, I'm way harder on me than I ever am on anyone else. And so it's hard to get away from that if you don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you're not even aware of it.
Oh, for sure. And I was talking with a friend the other day, and we were talking about this chatter, and she said, I know, and she said, in my head, I realized it was my mother's voice. It wasn't me talking at all. And I thought, really oh, yeah, I'm well acquainted with that challenge.
Yeah, that self-talk, the mind is such a powerful, powerful thing, huh? Like, I was reading the other day, and something that I like share a lot in my practice is that I think like 95% of the things that we think in our heads, so 95% of our self-talk are about things that haven't even happened. You know, we kind of lose ourselves in thinking about what if. Right? What if this happens? What if that happens? Worrying about things that never even happen. And that's the majority of our self-talk.
Oh, absolutely. And we get into this because of the fear-based stuff that happens. We get into this worry mode. And women particularly are, you know, we're the nurturers, but there's a sweet sour in that, because the sour is then we tend to think we have to worry about everybody and everything. And really, you know, 99% of that is none of our business. So, like, for example, I found myself worrying about my son one day, and he's an adult, he's 31, and well able to look after himself and take charge of his own life, and I'm worrying about something in particular. And then I stopped myself and I thought, wait a minute, whose business is that? Well, of course, the answer was his business. And I'm thinking, that's none of my business. And I thought, oh, good, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you know, our brains go like a mile a minute. At least that's the saying that I've heard growing up. And it's amazing. Like, another thing that I heard from, I think originally from Brian Tracy was, when you find your mind going on like that, like monkey chatter, going, you just like out loud say stop, just like halt it, say stop, and then choose a different thought, And I used that for quite a few years until I learned a ton of other tools to change my self-talk as well. So,
absolutely.
You mentioned earlier that you made a list of the things, 100 things that you liked about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That must have been, and then you expressed some of the challenges. And I find that that's so interesting. I've never actually done that. I've kept track of, like, I keep a success journal, and I suggest my clients to keep a success journal. So we realize the successes that we have throughout the day, right? Like whether it's mopping the floor, folding the laundry, wiping the table off, those are all successes, right? Things that we've accomplished.
Right.
But I've never actually taken the challenge to write 100 things down that you like about yourself.
Well, the beauty in the first thing that happens is it helps to balance out, because we already have so many negative things and we need to get onto the other side to balance that out better and or counterbalance all the negatives. The other part of that is we come to realize, once you get to 100 things, I mean, everybody has way more than 100, but for most people, 100 is a huge challenge. So, it can be as simple as, I know how to cook. Well, people say, well, you know, I just kind of take that for granted because I learned how to cook. Okay, but I know people who took cooking lessons and still can't boil water. So you give yourself credit for every little thing, not only what you do, but your attributes. You know, I'm kind, I'm compassionate, I'm thoughtful, I'm pretty, I have nice eyebrows, I take care of myself. You know, just it can be anything, even the smallest thing. Well, once you get to 100, you think, wow, I had no idea I was that good. Well, and it's not to, you know, have that sort of ego, you know, I'm good, so therefore I'm better than anybody else. It's just to feel solid and powerful inside yourself.
Absolutely. What a wonderful tool to empower yourself and to just really shift your thinking. Wow. I challenge everyone listening here today to grab a piece of paper and come up with 100 things that you like about yourself. I'm going to do that too. I think it's amazing.
Yep. Yeah,
I think it's amazing.
Well, and,
so glad
you know, and for you moms, help your kids start their own lists, because the sooner they get solid and grounded in who they are and where they're strong and what they like about themselves, the easier it will be for them to work out of those moments when they feel, as I call it, lower than a snake's belly. You know, when those days when we're just off and can't seem to find anything good about ourselves.
Well, then you go to the list. You can go back and say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot about that. Oh, really? Oh, and there's one other thing I found out about me. That's brilliant. You know, I'm definitely going to use that, because I work with kids and teaching them tools to empower themselves. And we talk about things that we love about ourselves, and one of the things that we do is they trace out their body and they put it on the wall, and the entire week that they're with me, they put in their own affirmations, like, I am kind, I am beautiful, or whatever the case is. And my challenge to them is to, like, vocalize that and get comfortable with vocalizing all these wonderful things about you. So, and then I usually ask the kids to bring that body home and ask the parents to assist the kids in continuing that on and just keeping a reminder. But you know what? Moms should do it too.
Oh, well, precisely, because let's face it, we need our own power base in order to fully use what we have. And if we don't recognize what we have and honor that, then it's pretty hard to have that level of confidence that we need to have. And, I mean, let's face it, life throws adversities at us left, right, and center. And we need a power base for coping mechanisms, because if you don't have the resilience to bounce back from whatever adversity hits you, then you become, you know, kind of a consummate victim instead of a victor.
There you go. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's huge. So when I was reading your bio, you said that, you know, creating balance with life's passions and its necessities. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. There's no question that when we start out in life, we often would prefer to go in certain directions, and yet the very basic fact that the rent is due and there's food to be put on the table and there is the kitchen to sweep and toilets to clean all vie for our attention. And so one of the things that I've learned is that I need to make sure that I look after the basics, because then that opens up time and space in order for me to fulfill my passions. And I think for me that came from being out of balance a lot of years. So for a good many years, I did what I thought I should do as opposed to what I really wanted to do. And I'll give you an example of that. When I turned 40, I gave myself creative writing classes as a gift. I wanted to take creative writing classes. Even though I had always written, I didn't consider myself a writer. And so I took classes. And I had so much fun. And I realized that I absolutely loved writing. I mean, it was just, it gave me so much joy. Well, then in the next breath, I'm going, oh, this is too much fun. I'm going to have to restrict myself and not write as often as I would like because I'm having too much fun. And you go,
really?
Hello?
How does that work? Yeah. I want to hear more about that for sure.
So I realized I was so bound into, you cannot get carried away with something that's that important to you or that much fun. You have to go back to the basics and look after other things first. And so I found myself, scratching away at odd moments. So I sort of, it felt like stealing a little time here and a little time there. And then once in a while, the only way I got the first two books written was because I went away on a writer's retreat where all you were there to do was write. They fed you, they looked after your room when you were out of the room and so on. And so that gave me permission. So what I found was I had a difficult time giving myself permission to do things that gave me a great amount of pleasure. And I'm going, oh, man. So it took me a few years, and it's really, it took me the kind of traumatic adversity that I went through over the last 8 years to really begin to see myself and appreciate myself for the powerful individual that I am that deserved all that I could give myself.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to, I didn't have to do anything for it. I just had to be and allow myself to be. And that's been an interesting transition for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, that's amazing. So just to follow up a little bit, you said that you were preventing yourself from having fun. Like you didn't feel comfortable having too much fun. Was it because you weren't getting enough of the other things done, or was it solely because you shouldn't be having that much fun?
I think so much of it was being schooled into all of the things that I should be doing. I should be the best mother. I should be the best business owner. I should be all of those shoulds, the best wife, the best cook, the best whatever. And so there were so many things tugging at my attention. And when you live a life of of self-sacrifice and shoulds and have-tos and should-nots, then pain is normal, pleasure is suspect.
Yeah. I get it. And yeah, you know what? That's huge, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I guess I need to be reminded of that sometimes, that, you know, people really experience that. You know, I'm constantly sharing with people, you know, find your passions, do what you're passionate about, But that's nice to be reminded of, and just to kind of stay humble and understanding to the fact that that's a real thing, you know?
Oh, for sure. Well, and the other part of that, you know, I know people struggle sometimes, and they say, well, I need to find my passion. And interestingly enough, it can be right in front of you right this second. Like, your passion could be, I'm passionate about making my kitchen sparkling clean right this instant. Why?
Yeah.
Because that would make me happy. Well,
yeah.
Our passions can come from, well, what makes me happy? Just that simple question where, oh, well, I'd be really happy if my house was clean right now. Well, it doesn't have to be a lifelong burning passion that you know, maybe you're the best cookie maker in the neighborhood, and that can be your passion. It might not last your whole life, but it might last until after Christmas. And then you've given yourself that fulfillment. And you said, wow, I honored myself that way.
And let's face it, I don't know if anyone else is like me out there. When the house is spotless, I am happy and relaxed. And I just love my home when it's clean. It just opens up so much energy for me. It's amazing. So we have about 3 minutes left here. Is there anything else that you can share with any moms out there who are completely and utterly inspired by empowering themselves, fulfilling their desires, and creating that ripple effect down onto their children?
Yes. Forget about self-improvement. You are already all you need to be. And from that place of fullness and complete magnificence, focus on growth. How much more can I be knowing that I'm already full?
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So when
that's
you think
a great reminder.
You know, life is a self-improvement project is never going to work because we're coming from a place of lack, always. But life as a fullness where I'm already enough and I have the opportunity from that place to grow, well, then it doesn't matter if you grow a little bit or grow a whole lot, you're still coming from a place of abundance and fullness. And that's the perspective that I think is important to get our heads wrapped around.
That is brilliant. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful tool and piece of advice to leave with our listeners. Okay, so we have about a minute left. Sue, how can people find you, work with you, get in contact with you?
Just visit my website, suepaulson.com. And there's a contact sheet, so you can send me an email from there, and I'm more than happy to work with a group for an inspirational keynote or workshop, or if people want to work with me one-on-one, that's possible too.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, but I saw Sue live speaking a couple of weeks ago with Dan King, who was a guest on the show last week, and special announcement, we're going to be doing a special Soulgasm edition, myself and Dan King, every month for an hour long, so stay tuned for that. But when I saw Sue speak, it was amazing. I loved what you had to share. You guys got to get her book, Magnificent Misery, From Adversity to Ecstasy. And you can find her book on Amazon. And if not, I will post the link so you can get it from my store. Thank you for joining me, Sue.
My absolute pleasure. It was lots of fun, Tanya. I hope we can do it again.
Absolutely. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye for now.